Halon më vruatër kam jolë këndal Qire vuren hatar një fua Në kalës kja unuje Aqqion dhe jesë qire Esnja në gërë Du kavës kja unujë Pësë
të Hi folks, it's Graham Sutherland back after a hiatus 21st century Jacobite. 1st of October. I think it's the 1st of October. No, it's the 2nd. 2nd of October already.
Oh, no, it's the 1st. It's the 1st.
It's the 1st. It's the 1st. So it is. Oh, that's weird. My calendar jumped forward until tomorrow. So, yeah. I've not been on for a few weeks. Been doing some other radio work with another station and bits and pieces, but gosh, I just found the whole COVID thing, everything. I just found the whole, media fiasco, the level of the deception. You know, all the politicians touching elbows and all this stuff, and just all this false rhetoric coming out and the hype and the hysteria. It just all got too much for me. I'm sorry.
It is past midnight where you are, so we're both correct. It's the 1st in the States and the 2nd in the UK. But please, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, the level of hysteria, you can almost tell. I mean, I'm quite good at perceiving if I'm being lied to. I've always been quite good at that. You know, it's not something you see, it's something you feel. And I can tell all these news anchors and the politicians, American and UK, they're telling lies, and they know they're telling lies. It's not like they've been brainwashed, you know, into being that hysterical and that fearful of COVID-19. That's not what we're dealing with here at all. It's actors. They're just playing a part. You can see it. You can see it in their eyes. They know that they're just basically, you know, deceiving the public. They're actors in a theatre. I'm surprised how many of them, they've managed to muster. I know there's a few, you know, politicians and indeed medical staff and such like have, you know, tried to penetrate this. But they're usually either discarded or discredited or, you know, just don't get any airtime. So, yeah, we're dealing with mass deception, and I find that really depressing. I don't know how other people cope with it, you know, cope with that reality, but I find it, like, really depressing that people, other people, not me, other people are so heavily and easily deceived. It's fear porn. People seem to be addicted to fear porn. Maybe it gives them another thing to talk about to strangers other than the weather.
And they get addicted to any power, control, authority with these lockdowns. Right, complaining about people coming into store without a mask or something, or social distancing. They get a little power, and they, it's like a drug. for a lot of these people, right?
Oh, absolutely, Richard. And I've seen an absolutely cracking meme today. I've reposted it a couple of times. There's one swear word in it, but I'll beep that out for you. And the meme is just a picture of loads of folk with masks on, like looking really serious. And the meme basically says, if you really believe that a bunch of paedophiles, murderers, and war criminals are trying to save you from a sore throat and a runny nose, you're part of the beep problem, and you need to wake your ass up. It's quite strongly worded, but it's bang on the money. It's exactly what's happening. It's amazing because, you know, what we are witnessing is mass mind control. And I'm sure we'll look back in about a year's time, we'll look back at sort of October 2020, and we'll be comparing notes of how many people, you know, were masked up and how long they were masked up before they, you know, realized it was a huge scam. And all they were doing, you know, it was an idiot test, and all they were doing was, it's a compliance test, and all they were doing is playing with us. You know, like you play with a cat with a ball of string. It's a bit like that. They're playing with us, seeing how far they can push us. That's how they keep, you know, they're all confused about, oh, you know, they're going to lock down. No, they're not going to lock down. This level of social distancing, that level of social distancing, then they came out and said it's probably, well, some doctors said it's probably better if you don't socially distance. And then that way, at least, you know, your natural immune system can work. But, mass hysteria, that's what we're witnessing. It's really quite scary. It's quite heavy. It's like, it's like looking at a whole load of sheep just walking into the slaughterhouse. That's what it feels like to me, just walking out of the cell ring and into the abattoir. All going meh with their masks on. That's really how I see it. It's a huge idiot test. It really is. It doesn't even make any sense. When you breathe out, you're breathing out. You're not just breathing out carbon dioxide. You're breathing out toxins, anything. Your the oxygenation of your blood cares to dump or dispose of comes out in your breathing. That's why your breath stinks the day after you've been drinking. Not so much when you're drinking, unless you're really drunk, of course. And that's your body trying to dump the alcohol, because alcohol is actually a poison. Your body doesn't like it. Your brain quite likes it, but your body doesn't like it. So your lungs work like a reverse carburetor and try and dump it. That's what's really going on. And that horrible smell you get, like acetone, on a heavy drinker's breath the day after they've been drinking, that's their body in overdrive trying to get rid of the alcohol. It isn't one to be mind-altered. It wants to be completely sane and rational. That's what your brain wants. So it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. It's like you get to a certain level of fear. People get to a certain level of fear and panic, and they stop thinking rationally. They go into like a siege mentality, and it's all emotional nonsense. It's not practical, it's not realistic, and that's what's happened, and they know that. And even if stuff's quite hard to believe and flat out lies, if you keep repeating them over and over and over again, keep repeating that lie, eventually it'll drop into people's minds as a thought, because you're hearing it so often. You know it's a lot of rubbish. You know it's mind control. You know it's not good. You know you're dumping it, and logically you're dumping it. But it's like psychologically, your subconscious absorbs it. because it's a thought, it's a concept, it's been dropped into your mind 500 or 600 times in the last, you know, as many weeks. That's how mind control works. That's how we can change opinion. They did it with climate change. They just kept using that cliche or man-made climate change is more accurate. And they just kept repeating that cliche over and over and over and over again. And loads of people who didn't really believe or, you know, knew it was rubbish and dumped it in their head, dumped it in their conscious mind, it was still dropped into their subconscious as a thought, as a concept. Possibility of being right. So that's how mind control works, and that's what they're doing to the masses. It's amazing how quickly people forget. I can remember the videos that went viral for a while, totally viral, and it was showing all the main news channels. I even did half a show on this. All the main news channels, well, all the American ones, and the BBC in Britain, they were all using the exact same words and phrasing and sentences to basically deliver the news. So it was all scripted, very clearly scripted, almost like a Shakespeare play. And they were all reading the same stuff. It was absolutely wild. And the videos went viral. It was like 20 stations all saying exactly the same thing, the same scripts. This is meant to be news from different areas, different regions, indeed different countries. They're all saying the same stuff. So it's a cabal that's running it. It's a cabal. It's just like Dr. No or whatever in James Bond. That's what we're dealing with. Very tangible. Very real. Very blatant. Very blatant. It's like advertising, isn't it? You keep hearing a product over and over and over and over again. You're much more likely to try it. I remember the first time, I was totally seduced by the martini adverts. Because I used to go to the cinema, and they were really exotic and quite sexy and everything. And I remember thinking, I'm going to try martini, and it's just not really a man's drink. But I just wanted a taste of paradise. See, I even remember the slogan. And I can't even remember. It's years and years since I've seen a martini advert. But yeah, it made me try the product. Their advertising made me try it. We've got one in this country as well. We've got a little drink called Baby Sham, and it's basically, it looks like little champagne bottles. And, you know, it's pressurized. It tastes kind of, it's basically just alcoholic apple juice. That's what it is. But it's not, it's called Baby Sham. And a lot of people used it, and it was marketed, and people didn't really think about it. They thought it was champagne. They thought it was budget champagne because it was called Baby Sham. And it was really popular, especially with women. And it uses a mixer with all sorts of other things. But that's the power of advertising. That's the power that they've got with this. Mind control. I've got to say something about the election debate fiasco. I found it absolute torture. Absolute torture. It was like two kids having an argument in a school playground. I didn't really think Trump gave that good an account of himself. I mean, he made some strong points, but the fact he was always like kind of shouting over Joe Biden, or they were always kind of talking over each other, and the fact that that was going on, it really took a lot of power out of the truths he was speaking. But he couldn't really concentrate because it was, well, someone said that, Joe Biden was going on about, granted, But I heard somewhere, maybe in the radio, that he actually interrupted him 72 or 73 times. I can't understand it. I mean, it's almost like a setup. Why did they not just mute Trump's mic when Biden was speaking and vice versa? You've had your 2 minutes, or you've had your 5 minutes, bang. You know, you can talk, but nobody's going to hear you. If they had that sort of discipline, it would have been a lot more structured and a lot less chaotic. It was shambles. It was shocking. And I was like, oh, man. I would say, you know, if it was a boxing match and you had to give, you know, like 3 points for a, you know, a good score and 2 points for a, 2 points for a mediocre one and so on, I think Trump would have come out in tops. I would think so. Biden came across as really quite senile and stuttery and hesitant and not really almost apologetic, almost childlike. Almost childlike. That's how he came across to me. And it's almost like you felt, I don't know if he was wearing an earpiece or not. I never noticed he was wearing an earpiece. I know he often does. I know he often does, because he'll come out with something uncharacteristically intelligent or coherent, or something that maybe, you know, would need a whole thought process behind it. You can come out with these things and you think, no, you're not even thinking that. Comes across as being quite superficial. That's my impression. And I've seen loads of videos where he tells blatant lies to people about degrees he never had and universities he's never been to and all this kind of stuff. I've seen that. But I think he's just one of these guys that just says the first thing that comes into his head. It's not like he's a premeditated liar. He's a compulsive liar. Just mix up crap as he goes along. That's how he comes across. But then he's just a talking head. We know that. He's just a talking head for the insane deep state, which is left-leaning. More so. More and more left-leaning, actually, as time goes on. Politics are really polarized in the States, more so than I've ever seen them as a casual observer. Really polarized. Almost, I would go as far as to say, diametrically opposed. That's how it's looking.
One thing I would add, Graham,
yeah,
is that I thought that the moderator didn't do a very good job of maintaining the role of being neutral. You know, he was on the attack with Trump to make up for the fact that Biden wasn't very competent to be able to do that. And
that's right.
It seemed like a boxing match, like you say, and people interrupting excessively. But Trump saw going in that this was totally skewed against him. I mean, the moderator had softball questions for Biden. You know, very easy questions given to him.
Yes, and loaded questions for Trump.
Yeah. Including trying to get him to admit that or claim, agree that white supremacy is the biggest threat in the United States. And that is so ridiculous, but it's so remarkably in line with the establishment talking points right now. It's so in favor of the far left agenda of Black Lives Matter and anti-white sort of political correctness. But anyway,
it was... What is that even about? The movement's been hijacked by white, mainly liberal, middle-class females.
Well, but these are all people who are paid by leftist money. You know, these NGOs like George Soros's Open Society... Open Society Foundation are funding, you know, a lot of this. And, I mean, then we're having Black Lives Matter money funded into Joe Biden and other far-left politicians' campaigns directly. Black Lives Matter donations go to ActBlue website, and a lot of that they show right on there. all of the far-left politicians, including Biden, getting large amounts of that. So not only are they, is Biden allowing for all of this criminal activity across the country and this divisive anti-white racist behavior, Antifa and Black Lives Matter have been terrorist organizations as far as how anyone would define them, to be fair, but you're never going to hear that from the corporate media or the establishment.
Yeah, but listen, the debate actually has spiraled several times down into quite a petty slanging match.
Yeah. But I mean, Trump knew that's all he could, that's all he had as a potential. Okay, a lot of the sheeple out there, that's all they're going to pick up anyway. You know, any higher talking points, like him going into detail more about Hillary's crimes or the critical race theory, anti-white sort of training they're trying to have in the U.S. now, or you know, any of these things would be too highbrow. It would go over most people's heads. He had, unfortunately, nothing but that playground sort of, tit for tat. That he, and like two against one with the moderator, you know, completely attacking him. So he knew it was just a child's playground where he had to at least look good in that way for the a lot of the people out there who don't have much of neurons to rub together to begin with.
I was supposed to be two, a current president and a possible future president, actually arguing like a couple of schoolboys at some points. It was quite embarrassing, Richard.
Well, that's, I'm just saying, though, I think the way it was completely set up against Trump, with the moderator attacking him, that I thought that sort of pettiness is all he figured was possible, probably, for a strategy at that point. I mean, that would seem possibly the conclusion. I'm not trying to defend completely. I agree. It would be good if he had a higher standard. Some say if he didn't interrupt Biden, it would have been better off. Just let Biden go into circles and then come back with your retort. But
he dig himself a big hole, yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah, but you make very good points as well in your critique of Trump. I'm just trying to look at the other side of it, to be fair.
The thing is, Richard, at the end of the day, Trump is what he is. You know, he's obviously been a bit of a lad when he's younger and stuff. But I think he's really trying to help America with the best possible intentions, coming from the heart and all that. I think he's committed. Evidence of that is he does it, you know, for no money. Well, his salary is always donated to charity, $400,000, just over $400,000 a year, $420,000 or something. He gives it all away. So it's obvious what he wants. He wants to try and steer the country back to prosperity and stability, and ending those stupid wars. That's what I think. But he doesn't. He never comes across as particularly intelligent. I've always thought that with Trump, he comes across as being quite a simple kind of man. Quite a simple kind of man.
He doesn't usually phrase things in the most constructive way. Yeah, almost like he just blurts things out in a way less than ideal as far as phrasing things or.
He goes off in tangents at a regular basis as well. You'll be saying something and he goes, oh, by the way, and then he goes off in a complete tangent. It's quite, I don't know, it's quite kind of, it's quite childlike. It's quite a childlike way to, to speak. And a lot of what he says is stuff he said before, and it kind of sounds a wee bit passé. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I think that the next 4 years under his watch will have a slower deterioration, at least. And
yes.
I don't think worse is better right now. With Biden, it would go too quickly toward a just complete communist degradation of everything this nation stood for. We see all these Bolshevik tactics, a lot of the same things that have occurred in the past. Those who do not learn from the past are destined to repeat it, and we know how little people learn about history, or well, the public school system is a joke. So,
yeah. Oh, absolutely, and it's the same here. It's the same here. I don't know. I actually feel like there's a huge pressure bubble building up. And when all these people that are going about with their masks on, thinking they're actually doing some good and everything, and we start to realize they've been mind-controlled to such a and deceived, and they start feeling stupid, there'll be a huge backlash round about then. You know, the mainstream media could be pretty much killed, finally, you know, properly killed, if this all comes out, because it's just a huge theater production. It all is. You can see it. And all the different news channels, looking at all the different parliaments and all the different talking heads, they're just coming out with the same crap in different languages. People are going to realize, and they will feel silly. People don't like feeling silly. Don't like feeling deceived or misled, and that's what's happening. So, yeah, it's going to get messy, I think. Richard, it's going to get messy. The truth always comes out, and that's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. People, even inside us, people that's like we would consider the enemy, even they're getting just fed up with the status quo and starting to leak things out, and, you know, we're getting, like, really credible witness testimonies about all sorts of stuff that, you know, it previously been conspiracy theories like child sacrifice and whatnot, child trafficking and everything. It all sounded like, you know, a scary prospect, a scary theory or whatever to a lot of people. But I think we're past that now. We're into the realization that, you know, there's stuff going on that's so distasteful and disgusting and horrible and utterly evil. It's not even good to think about them. And we're having to use that truth to shock people from complacency and, you know, just being asleep and to being fully awake and active. And people really don't want that. It involves effort and growing pains. Taking on board a whole new psyche and realizing that, you know, you've been deceived systematically for years. And what's happening with the COVID thing is just the latest layer. We've been deceived in education and music and film and led away from God. Because remember, these are the Antichrist. That's what we're dealing with. The beast system, that's what we're dealing with. And it doesn't matter what you believe or what I believe, it's what they believe that matters. And what they believe is that they can gain power, wealth, and influence by sacrificing children's blood. That's what they believe. Just like the Babylonians did 6,000 years ago, exactly the same cult, same beliefs, same demon gods, just a more up-to-date a version of it. That's what's happening. And it's so difficult to take it on board without having to immediately do something about it. I know, I totally get it. I totally get it. In denial, I mean, a lot of people are still in denial even after they realize in their heads, in the logical part of their brain, even after they realize they've been deceived for years and everything. There's all the conspiracy theories, including the, you know, the child sacrifice and everything, is all completely true. They've got to, like, hit the reset button. And that means changing. And people don't like change. People do not like change. Complacency. People like complacency. And the media know, they know that. This masters of war are controlling our minds. They know that. They fully understand the human psyche, and they know how to bend it and influence it. I was just listening to I was driving along in my van last night, and I was listening to a song by Bachman Turner Overdrive called "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet." Popular songs, always on the radio. "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet." That one. So I'd listened to it hundreds of times when I was a teenager, but I'd never really listened to the words. So I was listening to the words, and it was all basically about the song is about him him going to his woman's doctor, which I presume because she's pregnant. That's the only reason you would, you know, your partner would get in to see your doctor, your personal doctor. And he's saying to her, "Look, any love is good loving." So yeah, and I was just thinking how we were. That's a pretty mild example, actually, but how we were seduced by music. That's what I'm talking about. I was, I know I was, and I know my generation was. I know my whole peer group was. We were seduced by, we were as 13, 12 and 13 year olds, we were fascinated by dirty lines and songs.
Sympathy for the devil, right, Graham?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, we were sold this stuff as being cool. It was really carefully constructed. It was a big thing, the whole rock and roll thing. It was a big thing to put on the public. And there was loads of stuff in there. Some of it was subtle, and some of it was, Richard just said, "Sympathy for the Devil" by the Stones. That was, blatantly satanic. In fact, I remember seeing an interview with Mick Jagger, and he said that a reporter or, somebody basically just asking him questions maybe had said to him, "Are you working for, a witchcraft thing or a satanic cabal thing or something? Because, a lot of your songs are about satanic themes."
Anton Levey, maybe? When did he start up?
Yeah, he came along a little bit later, right? The famous Satanist, that's right. So, yeah, they were into all that stuff. And, this reporter was just wondering if, the Stones were part of a cabal. Or if they had just kind of like sold themselves out to the devil, if you like, and not working for anyone else. I don't know, but it certainly came across. I mean, it wasn't just them.
I'll tell you what it was, Graham. I mean, they're working for a Hollywood Talmudic cult. A Talmudic cult, which is trying to destroy Christianity, seeing it as one of the things in their way of domination. But that's just my interpretation.
Yes. 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 No, there's definitely truth in that. The Jews are always calling for, peace and, prosperity and everything, and even critical of the actions in Palestine. Those Jews are generally Torah Jews, and the Torah is just the first five books of the Old Testament, which is basically, it's basically about, being fair and being forgiving and all this kind of stuff. There are a lot of hard lessons in those books, but that's what they're about. But the sect that are into the Talmud, that's a completely different thing altogether. They're like, a lot of them are actually also practicing Satanists. They're going to satanic temples and everything. And they believe that they will bring about the apocalypse by summoning up the Antichrist as a precursor to Christ coming back with the second coming and the big battle. That's what they're trying to do, and that's what all the frenetic activity to build Solomon's temple again and get the sacrifices on the go and everything and making all the artifacts and everything. That's what they've been doing. They're obsessed with it. They just want to get on with us. And the current generation, are all saying that this will all come to pass in our generation, in our time. So yeah, that's what they're trying to do. And remember, these people are not playing; they're using ancient magic. They are conjuring up powers of the deep. They are conjuring up demonic entities. Our whole history, all our folklore, the Bible, everything's full of these stories, and that's what they're doing. That's what they're still doing. They're trying to basically get the devil to do their bidding and to wipe out the Arab races. That's what they want to do, and of course the Arab races want to wipe them out. It's an ancient battle. It goes right back to the Torah days. So yeah, that's what they're about. But some of them are very, very strange. Very, very strange. Absolutely obsessed with it. Absolutely obsessed. No, you know, concept or interest whatsoever in current affairs. Well, the current world. No interest at all. All the talk about is the coming leader. That's what they're talking about. The false prophet. That's what they're talking about. But they don't call him a false prophet, of course. So,
well, I hate to interrupt, but just to look at the time, looks like you're pretty much ready to wrap up. If you want to mention. Go over a few minutes if you want, but if you want to mention your final thoughts and everything.
Sure.
Reflection.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that was a quick hour. But yeah, I just thought I would put out a shorter than normal show just to say I'm back, and we'll look forward to your calls on, you know, your company next Thursday. So, yeah, so I'll wind up my show just now, and I look forward to speaking to you next Thursday. So, good night and God bless.
Covered.